morning. Good Shepherd Baptist Church members and friends. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne, Lord, to share the words of life that you've given us, dear Heavenly Father, the words that you've put into your book, the words that you say speak life to the world. Lord, with all that's within me and with all that I have, may the name of Jesus be lifted up, that lives are challenged, lives are changed, souls are saved, and Christ is glorified. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. A lot of things going on in our world, a lot of serious issues that need to be dealt with, addressed. But what we find out is that you always, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, always, always, always start with the Bible. Start with the Bible. And then go check and see if everything else that you're reading is right. Don't start with this book and this philosophy book and that philosophy book and this comparative religion. Start with the Bible to see if they're right. Don't start with them to see if the Bible is right. And you will always be on track. Today, I'm going to be in the book of Joshua. We have been dealing on Wednesday nights. We've been talking about Joshua. And we've been, Brother Mike and Brother Bruce have been doing an excellent job of teaching this book. This book is it's a challenging book. It's an exciting book. And for me, especially for men, it's a good book for everybody, but especially for men, because I look at the leadership, I see the typology of the leadership of Joshua, and you see what God wants out of men and how we're to conduct ourselves and how we're to glorify him with our lives. And one thing that really stands out first and foremost about Joshua is that Joshua was a servant. Joshua was a servant, y'all. You cannot be a good leader until you first learn how to serve. Everybody wants to skip the servant part and go to the leadership class. It doesn't work that way. Joshua was the servant of Moses for years before God ever asked him to do anything on his own. And he served Moses well, and consequently, he served God well. Well, now we've gone through the book of Joshua. We're in the very last chapter. We're in chapter 24. And right at the end of the book, and there's been so many battles fought. There's been so many battles fought. There's been so many victories won. God had kept his people in the wilderness for 40 years. And then he brought them into the land of Canaan, into the promised land, and he had Joshua lead them into the promised land. And they had so many victories. They had a few setbacks. But now in chapter 24, which is where we're going to be coming from, in chapter 24, it's time for the old soldier to step aside. The old soldier, the great leader, the man who knew how to serve, the man who knew what serving was all about, Joshua. Joshua is about to make his last public stand. This is the last thing that you're going to read about Joshua in Scripture. And he's wanting to leave an indelible mark on everybody who's listening. And guess what? He has for centuries, because he said this about some 3,000 years ago, and we still read about it. So he has left an indelible mark on us for centuries. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we all would have that chance before we close our eyes for the last time to say something of tremendous consequence for God that would be remembered unto all of our legacy? It will just be remembered from now until. Joshua is making his one last public stand, and he's wanting to encourage his people. And he wants to encourage them to serve the Lord. He wants to exhort them to serve the Lord. Serve the one true and living God and serve him faithfully. He wants to remind them of the covenant that they made with God way back some time ago, where God first chose them as his people and they said that they would obey him. And so Joshua wants to remind them of that covenant that they made. And what we're going to read about here in chapter 24 is kind of like a like married couples after they've been married for a while. And they say, hey, you know, we want to get together. We want to renew our vows. Now, you knew what you promised the first time. You knew you might maybe sort of meant it, but you promised it. You promised it. And then as time went on, you start saying, oh, that's what it meant when I said that. But what Joshua is doing is he's saying to the people, you're God's covenant people. Because this letter is specifically to the Jews, but it's for us so that we can get some insight into our own lives. And Joshua is going to let them know it's time to remember and renew that covenant. Israel is getting ready to enter into a new chapter in their history. They've conquered all the land that God told them to conquer. Now comes the hard part. And this is the part that I want Good Shepherd to hear and to understand. They've done the fighting. They went and they believed God and they did what they were supposed to, and they conquered the land. Now, God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to live for me. See, there's almost nobody out here, and I don't even know all of y'all that well, who, if you were pushed into a corner, just like those men that ISIS, those Egyptian Christians that ISIS lined up, 21 men, they lined them up, and they challenged them to deny Christ. And to the man, they said, because they were picked because they were Christians. So please be in prayer for the Christians worldwide. They were picked because they were Christians. And they said, deny Christ. And to the man, they said, no. And it cost them their lives. I dare say most of the people in this church, I mean, listen, if somebody backed you into a corner and said, deny Christ, I don't think you would. I really don't think you would. But I got a greater challenge for you. Live for him. Let me see you live for him. Dying, you say, well, sooner or later, it's got to be over. But living, and that's what Joshua is challenging his people, his countrymen to do. He's saying, I know you love the Lord, you're going to stand, but I want you to live for him and serve him while you're here. They took a survey, and they said, the survey said that 80% of the people in America consider themselves Christians. And then they took another survey and it says 70% of the people in America say that homosexuals getting married, so-called, is okay. Now, what's wrong with that picture? Folks who say, I love the Lord. He heard my cry. And God says, live for me. I'm not asking you to go out and beat nobody up. We don't do that. But you do most certainly take a stand against right and wrong. Well, you know, who am I to judge? Live and let live, and oh, et cetera, so on and so forth. It doesn't work that way. That's why Joshua is calling his people. He's calling them gathered together. Come on, y'all. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I'm going to be leaving. Joshua said, I'm 110 years old. Woo. I'm 110 years old. And it's time for me to get gone. But before I go, I want to challenge y'all to live and serve the one true and living God. In our main text, you're going to see the word serve. We're going to be reading today from Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 25. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 25. And in the course of this text, you will see the word served or serve 13 times. You think God's trying to say something to us here? 13 times within 10 verses, he's saying, serve or served. I want you to do something. I don't want you to be a bench-warming Christian. I don't want you to just go along and get along. I want you to serve the Lord. Let's read our text out of the King James Bible. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 25. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which our fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake God, forsake the Lord, to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now, therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we're going to talk about getting serious about serving the Lord. Getting serious about serving the Lord. Preacher, why do you bring up things like this? Why do you talk about things like this? Primarily because it grieves me. It grieves me. We have turned God into Santa Claus. We have turned Jesus into a genie. And as the reality of life starts to smack us around in the face, we start saying, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? As you watch your society crumble around you, you say, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? Well, we have got to get a better understanding, a right understanding of who God is. And because when you read it here, I want you to understand, God has not changed. He does not change. He cannot change. The word is immutable. He says, I do not change. So if there's a problem, if the change has got to be made, it's not God. It's us. And we got to deal with that. But in his grace and his mercy, he is so kind to point the way. He's given us a manual. He's given us an owner's manual. He said, if you'll do this, it will go well with your soul if you will do this. We didn't read the first 13 verses, but we're going to kind of reference the first 13 verses. And the first verse, let's start off with, it started in Shechem, verses 1 through 13. It started in Shechem. Now, during this part here, I want you to notice the personal pronoun, I. And when I say personal, think about this. This is the God of creation talking to people. you heard people say, well, you know, God is just too, you just can't figure him out. He's just too deep. He's so big. Who can claim to know him? I can't figure him out, but I can receive what he gives me. He says, I'll reveal myself to you. So that's why, think about this. The God of all, the same God who hung the stars and the moon in the sky, the same God is talking to you. He's talking to me. He's saying, personally, I did this, and I want you to know, because I don't want you to be ignorant of who I am. I don't want you to make a God in your image. I want you to know that you were made in my image. I do the making, you do the following. Amen. And that's why we have to go to the scripture and read what he's saying. Look at and understand the beauty of whenever God tells you don't, it's for your benefit. When I was coming up, man, I said, man, God is a curmudgeon. God is a mean man. He don't want me to do nothing. He don't want to let me have no kind of fun. And I'm like, man, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't. Man, what kind of God? And it wasn't until I finally got some sense. I said, oh, my goodness. He's trying to save me from me. Every don't is for me. Every do is for me. But the devil has us so blinded. And this world has us so blinded that we think it can't be. You know, God's got to be the bad guy. I got to tell you this. I read this yesterday, a couple days ago. This is kind of off. This is kind of off on a tangent, but since I don't want to forget it, I got to tell you. I was thinking about the thing about diversity. About diversity. Everybody's, you can't go to a website. Everybody's diverse. Everybody's, and you go to anything from Hollywood, and they're beating everybody up for being profiling people, and you're stereotyping people, and you don't have any diversity. Do you realize that Hollywood is the only company where you can go to work and they can still say, I don't like the way you look, you're not hired. I like that. I don't like the way you look. You're not, they have stereotyped everybody. They have stereotyped everybody. I don't like the way you look. I need this kind of person, I need this guy. But they'll tell you if you got your business, you can't do that. Y'all got to hear how the world is double-minded all the way, y'all. Double-minded all the way. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It started in Shechem. It reads, verses 1 through 13, but I'm not going to read all of it. Verse 1, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for the heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. See, Joshua called them together, but God's doing the talking. Why Shechem? Shechem is a city of great significance in Jewish history. Great significance in Jewish history. Go back through your scriptures. When God called Abram out of Ur, the first city he stopped at, Shechem. When Jacob was concerned about where his sons were at and how the flocks were doing, he sent his son Joseph to go and check on his sons who were taking care of his flocks. Where? In Shechem. And we know how that turned out, right? Okay. Also in Shechem, Jacob. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 35:4. In Shechem, Jacob called a meeting for all of Israel, just like what Joshua is doing here. He called a meeting for all of Israel, and he said, He was calling them to repentance. He was calling them to renew their covenant with God. And it says in verse 4, chapter 35, verse 4, after Joshua called everybody, after Jacob called them, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. So when Jacob called them, all of God's people, now think about this. These are all God's people that he's delivered out of Egypt. He's delivered them. He's been carrying them for years and years and years. How do they end up with idols? How do they end up with these little statues and things that all come before God the same way we do? The more you ignore God, the more idols move into his place. And it could be any, you can name it, it could be any number of things. It could be your car, it could be your house, it could be your money, it could be your job, it could be your kids. That you've sort of pushed God over this way and moved them in that way. But when Jacob called them and everybody was, they're on fire for the Lord, so they bring everything, and they're dumping all these idols. They're getting rid of all this stuff that they accumulated over a period of time. And the one thing that kind of stuck out to me, and I don't have the answer for it, y'all. I don't have the answer for it. But I thought it was kind of curious that he said that he took all the earrings and the nose rings from everybody, including the men. That's what it tells you. It says, from the men had the earrings. And I said, why would he take the earrings? Now, I don't have the biblical answer, but I know when I had mine in and it was hanging all down like this, I thought I was cute. You couldn't tell me nothing. I had that joker. It was a big old thing. I was just so full of myself. See, I didn't put the earring in to glorify God. I put the earring in to glorify me. You think maybe that might be why he told him to dump them? It might be. Amen. Whatever it is that you have, whatever it is that you have, that you have purposed in your heart that it's either on a par or above God. Because we said, well, I'll never put anything above God, but you put a whole lot beside him. That's because he says, there's nothing beside me. And so Jacob said, get rid of all that stuff. And it all started in Shechem. And from verse 1 through verse 13, God reads them the history of what all he has done for them. Because Joshua, in order for Joshua to call them to repentance and call them to renewal, you really need to kind of take an inventory sometime, go back and see where you've been so that God can move you forward to where you need to go. Verse 2, he says, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Abraham, before he became Abraham, served other gods. Why is that important? Because that says no matter what situation you're in, or no matter what situation your friends are in, no matter situation what your family members are in, everybody serves other gods until they learn the truth about the one true and living God. And that's our job, to tell them the truth about the one true and living God. He goes, verse 3, he says, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. Verse 4, I gave unto Isaac and Jacob and Esau. Verse 5, I sent Moses also and Aaron. Verse 6, I plagued Egypt. Verse 8, I brought you into the land of the Amorites. Verse 8, I destroyed them from before you. Verse 9, I would not hearken unto Balaam. God has given them a history of what all he has done. I'm saying to Good Shepherd Baptist Church, check back in your mind. What has God stepped into your life and done in your life that you can stand and say, nobody but God. Nobody but God. You've been in situations, you've been in circumstances where you know everybody else can throw their hands up on you and said, ain't no way. And nobody but God, you can sit there and you can write for yourself. You can say, he did this for me. He did this for me. He did this for me. When I was laying on my sick bed and people were walking around scratching their head, he brought me through. And this is what he's saying with the children of Israel. He said, take a look at what I've done for you. And before you take a vote on whether you're going to choose me or not, just take a look at what I've done for you. See, because God wants us to put things in perspective. He wants us to understand that he has done everything. And for those of us on this side of the cross, he even sent his son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's done everything for you. And oh, by the way, all I'm asking you to do is serving. I'm just asking you to live for him. I'm asking you to stand up in your sphere of influence with your friends and your family and speak up about Jesus. That's all I'm asking you to do. When somebody comes along and tells you that, oh, well, you know, we got to be tolerant, will you please take them to the Bible? And say, show me that word tolerance in the Word of God. Show me that word tolerance in the Word of God. It's not there. The word that is in the Word of God is long-suffering. God does not tolerate sin. All sin must and will be punished. All sin. God does not tolerate sin because he's holy. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes. He doesn't tolerate sin. And I'm supposed to love what God loves, and I'm supposed to hate what God hates. I stole this from Brother Fox. To this time, I'll give him credit for it. Next time, I'll say I thought about it. He said, I hate sexual immorality. And he gave me a good reason. He said, because I'm born that way. See, some people say they can't help who they love because they're born that way. Well, what the scriptures say is, I can't help who and what I hate because I got a new birth. And I'm born that way. I'm born again. And I was, first time I was born shaping in sin and iniquity, and I couldn't help who I love. But now, I'm a new creature in Christ. I got to change nature. And some things I just plain old hate, y'all. And God's okay with that because God says some things he hates. Read your Bible. God says, he says, Jacob, I love. And Esau, I what? Christ, but hate. Whoa, gossip. You know, God gets sued right now. He gets sued in America. He gets sued right now. ACLU have him called down right now. Talking about he hates somebody and he hates some stuff. While his people back off and say, well, Jesus, he loved everybody. Jesus loved everything. And he just, y'all do understand that if Jesus was that nice, they wouldn't have killed him. If he was the Jesus of your imagination, they wouldn't have killed him. If he was the Jesus of your imagination, not only would they not have killed him, they wouldn't have killed the apostles either. Because what did the apostles do? They taught what he taught. So when the Bible is saying, Jesus says, if they hated me, isn't that what he says? He says, if they hated me, you can most assuredly expect that if you stand up for me, you're going to get the same thing. Oh, but no, preacher, not in 2015. We'll get to that in a minute. God gives them all these personal pronouns, and he tells them it all started in Shechem. And now here they find themselves again, called for a meeting, a holy convocation in Shechem by Joshua. Verses 14 through 22. Joshua is calling his people to a new beginning. To a new beginning. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which our fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land we dwell. And look here, this is where Joshua stands out a cut above everybody else. Joshua says, but as for me and my house, here's this 110-year-old man. Here's this servant, this man who was one of the spies that went into the land of Canaan. Do you know how bold you have to be to go into the land of Canaan where they got giants, literally got giants in a land that you've never been to, and you come back, and you got Moses sends out 12 spies, and only 10 of them come back and say, oh, man, we can't do this. We can't take this. We can't do this. And here, a young Joshua, he comes back. Him and Caleb come back with the report, and they say, man, it looks rough over there. But you know what? God said, we got this. God said, we got this, and we can do this, and he's ready to serve. But because of the rebellion of the people, they all had to 40 years in the wilderness. Then after the wilderness, God used Joshua to lead them into the promised land. Now here we are at Shechem with this 110-year-old man. And he's saying, look, y'all, look, I'm soon to be gone. I've already dealt with a lot of stuff. I had a lot of victories. I had some setbacks, and I got a few things going on. He says, but I can't make you do nothing. Christians, brothers, sisters, friends, visitors, understand, you and I cannot make anybody do nothing. There's only one person that you have control over. One that you have absolute control over. And then there's others who you have great influence over, and that's your family. But you have to make a decision. At some point, you and I, we have to say, you know what? I'm tired of backing down. I am going to stand and serve the Lord. That's all Joshua said, and that's gone down through history as one of the most famous sayings ever. He says, as for me and my house, now I control me, and since I'm the head of my house, Joshua said, I control my house. As for me and my house, I don't know what you're going to do, but this is what we're going to do. We are going to serve the Lord. Oh, man. And he's saying to the people here, I'm on my way out, but it's time for a new beginning for you. It's time for a new beginning for you. Well, how do I begin, preacher? How do I begin? Verse 14, how do I begin to serve God? The first thing he says, fear the Lord. Why do we have to fear the Lord? He says, Proverbs says, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's not all there is to know, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See, so if you go traipsing off trying to serve God without any wisdom, any knowledge, any understanding, you're going to end up creating God in your image instead of following the image that you were created in. He says, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. That means serve Yahweh, serve Jehovah. And think about this. Take note of this. If there's no fear, there's no service. If there's no fear, there's no sincerity. If there's no fear, there is no truth. That's what the scripture says, y'all. And when he's talking about fear, I know many of y'all have been told, well, that just means to reverence God, to hold him up in high esteem. That is included. But when the Bible says, when God says himself, don't just fear the one who can destroy your body. Fear the one, that fear. Oh, I'm going to respect him. Somebody's standing there getting ready to cut your head off like the ISIS people did. You're going to be scared. Are you going to say, I respect them greatly? No, you're going to be scared. And God says, I understand that fear. God said, that's good. You know, it's healthy to have some fear. He says, but don't just fear him. He said, I want you to take the level that you have for me, I want you to take it another notch up. We need to learn how to fear the one who can not only kill us, but who can toss us into hell. Hell is real, y'all. And if you really believe that, we'd be way more adamant about our evangelistic outreach. We'd be way more adamant about getting this message out to the lost and dying world if we really believe that. Because we're still holding back and hoping that somewhere, some way, somehow, God has got a special deal worked out for my unbelieving brother and my unbelieving sister and my unbelieving coworker. And I'm here to tell you, and it brings me no glee, I'm just here to tell you, he does not have a plan worked out for him other than what he has written in his word. And so now, armed with that, see, that's why you got to fear God, because it'll arm you with some stuff. Armed with that, let that be the impetus to make you and I get up, get out, open our mouth, and tell the world about Jesus. If that don't move you, I don't know what will. Joshua says, in order for you to serve the Lord, you must first fear the Lord. And you have to serve him in sincerity and in truth. A lot of people want to talk to you about God. God this, God that, God this, God that. You got to narrow things down, y'all. Talk to them about Jesus. See, because you could talk to somebody about God for an hour, and y'all talking about two entirely different entities. And if you're talking to a Hindu, you're talking about multiple entities. You got to get the conversation down to who do you say Jesus is. He says, serve him. He says, and if it seem evil unto you, verse 15, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, don't forget all those personal pronouns coming from verses 1 through 13 where God said, I did this, and I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I did that. Now Joshua, I hear a touch of sarcasm in his voice. He said, now if that seems evil to you to serve the one who brought you all that way, I tell you what, you need to think this thing through and make a choice. When we talk about the fear of the Lord, I want to bring to the attention of Good Shepherd Baptist Church a question for 2015. Because I'm sitting here, I'm telling you about hellfire. I'm telling you about God who's going to destroy people. I'm telling you about God who has turned nations upside down. I'm talking to you about a God who rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm talking about a God who when Elijah prayed, he brought fire down from the sky. Here's the question of the day. Has God gone soft on sin? Has God gone soft on sin? See, because in a lot of our evangelical circles, it's just, we just love the Lord. Ooh, we just praise the Lord. Talk about sin. Oh, no, we don't talk about no sin. We don't talk about no sin. We don't talk about no bad living. We don't talk about no rebellion to God. Because God, he not like that. That's the God of the Old Testament. Let's see if God has changed. Turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. A couple of these verses in the book of Numbers are some of my favorite verses. God's talking about his law. Turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verses 27 through 31. Numbers chapter 15, verses 27 through 31. And here, God, the law of God is being repeated for everybody to hear and understand. Because God says, you can't figure me out, so therefore I have to reveal myself to you. I got to tell you what I'm like and who I'm like. Verse 27, and if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. I love that verse. Pastor, why do you love that verse? Because he says, if I'm ignorant, he'll forgive me. And never having been the sharpest tool in the shed, I love that verse. Because he's saying to anybody, that means your unbelieving friends, that means everybody. He says, if somebody is ignorant, there is a sin offering for him. Verse 28, and the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly. When he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him, ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. But we preached about God's goodness and his severity back in Romans. God hasn't changed, y'all. God's goodness is if you're ignorant, if you do something out of mistake, if you do because you just didn't know. God said there's an offering. There's a sin offering for that. Verse 29, 30. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he is born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among all, from among his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. Oh, wow. God says in the Old Testament, he says, if you sin ignorantly, God says, I'll work that out with you. I'll forgive. There's an offering for that. He said, but if you just look at my word and you just do whatever you want to do, he goes, for that, there is no forgiveness. Well, but didn't God change that in the New Testament? Turn your Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Because right now, so many in the church think that God has gotten soft on sin. We think that God, he's a new kind of God. He's a kinder, gentler kind of God. And he's gotten soft on sin. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 through 32. And it reads in the King James Bible, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh of word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Listen, y'all. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Wait a minute, you mean to tell me in the Old Testament, God said that if you sin ignorantly, I'll forgive you. If you sin willfully and presumptuously, I will not forgive you. And then in the New Testament, he says, God says you can curse God, you can curse Jesus. He said, but you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you will not be forgiven now. You will not be forgiven ever. And let me explain to you why, y'all. Because God has given us the Holy Spirit as the only agent, the only power to bring us into the truth. So when you reject the truth, you can't be saved. So if you willfully disobey God, after you know, in the Old Testament, it always used to perplex me about the man who was out picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. And the people said, Moses, what should we do? And Moses said, arrest him. Moses said, arrest him. And then they put him in ward, and they said, we got to inquire of the Lord. What do we do? This was one of the brethren. He was out there, and he was picking up sticks on the Sabbath. What do we do? And God said, kill him. God said, kill him. And I said, just for picking up sticks? Just for picking up sticks? No, kill him because he understood what I said. He was right there when I said it. And he said, I don't care what God says. I'm going to do it anyhow. Has God gone soft on sin? No, he hasn't. Preacher, why are you always preaching all this doom and gloom? I'm not preaching you doom and gloom. I'm preaching you what the Bible says because I'm like Belshazzar. I see the writing on the wall. And I'm trying to get the church to see the writing on the wall. God is not pleased. But look, before you condemn God, before you talk about how harsh he is, before you talk about Man, that's really judgmental. Man, that's really brutal. Stop and think. He said you could be as dumb as a rock and I'll forgive you. That's good news. That's good news. He said you could be totally, don't, you ain't no, heard nothing about no Jesus. You and it, turn your Bibles over to 1 Timothy. I'm going to give you a great example. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. I'm going to give you a great example. This is a man that the Bible says was the chief among sinners. This is the man who said I was, he said when it come to sinning, he said I was chasing. Wait, look at his resume, y'all. This is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, I was breathing out threatenings. The Apostle Paul said, I tracked down Christians and I persecuted them. I threw some in jail. I had some executed. Paul said, that was me. But look what he says here in verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer. That means he blasphemed God, y'all. That's what Paul's saying. He's before I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. That's the grace of God, y'all. That's the, don't get hung up on the severity of God. I want you to get hung up on the goodness of God. This is a man who attacked his church. This is a man who made it his business to destroy Christians. But he said, I did it in ignorance. And God said, I forgive you. If there's anybody out there right now, you've been living bad, you've been living large, you've been living away from God. He says, if you stop right now, if you let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, if you stop right now, call on the name of the Lord. He says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord. If you'll just acknowledge that God has the power to change you, that God has the power to fix it. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, man. Oh, man. I serve a good God. No matter how far you've gotten away from me, no matter how dumb we are, no matter how much in rebellion, he says, if you did it ignorantly, I will. And all of his I wills are amen. Moving on. Time for a new beginning. Can't take this old stuff into the new land, into the new way of life. From you know, let today be the last day that you deal with that sin. You fill in the blank. Let today be the last day that I can't control my anger with my wife. I can't control my anger with my children. I can't control my drinking. I can't control my smoking. I can't control my tongue. Well, you know, people just, you just got to get used to me. That's just the way I am. I ain't got to get used to you. You need to change. I got to change. You got to change. Nobody got to get used to you. Well, that's just the way I am. Change. Whenever you find yourself using that, for your criteria, for your excuse. Well, that's just the way I am. You better, time for a change. That's just me. I know. That's why God said change. And the good news is, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, I'll give you the power to change. Let's move on. God is serious about us serving him, y'all. He's serious about us serving, but he's saying, before you serve me, you got to get things right. You got to get on the right track. You got to let him renew our minds. Moving on. Joshua is telling them, you need to get rid of all those idols that you have. All those, and the presumption is here, y'all, just like the presumption is in the church. You got some stuff at home that you know you ain't got no business having there. You got some stuff in your heart that you know you ain't got no business having there. You got some stuff in your mind that we know we have no business having it there. So I doubt that there's anybody in here right now who could reach in their pocket and bring out a little piece of wood and say, I bow down to that little piece of wood. But we do have our idols. In the scripture, Joshua says, we need to get rid of them. We need to get rid of all of them. And the people said, when Joshua challenged them, when he said, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And then the people, they kind of rehearsed some of the things that God had done for them in verses 1 through 13. And then they summed it all up in verse 18 when they said, in the last part of verse 18, therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. That's the last part of verse 18. Now look at what Joshua says. I love the humor, the subtle humor of the Bible. These people, they're saying, yes, 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 you're right. Yes, 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 we've been sinning. Yes, 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 we've got these idols. Yes, yes, yes. Joshua, just like you said, we're going to turn. We're going to turn. We're not going to serve these gods anymore. And Joshua said, verse 19, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is holy. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. I'm going to give you a modern day translation for that particular verse. The people were saying, we will. I'm honest. We're going to do it. We're going to obey the Lord. Now, never mind, they got all these idols in their pockets and in their bags and everything. No, we will serve the Lord. And so Joshua says to them, certainly. Yeah, I believe that. Certainly. No, Joshua says, and this is serious. Joshua says, you can't serve God. That's a true statement, y'all. That's a true statement. It was true then, it's true now. You and I cannot serve God in our own power. If God's Holy Spirit does not drive you to do what you do, to do what I do, ye cannot serve God. And he gives you two big reasons here. First and foremost, because God is holy. We don't like to have a holy God. We prefer gods that we can kind of stroke and put make them in our image. But Joshua says the reason that y'all can't be in the presence of God like you're supposed to be, because you don't want to acknowledge that God is holy. That means he's pure. That means he's sanctified. That means he's set apart. And this one threw Oprah Winfrey for a loop. I read it. Y'all go Google it. Go Google it. She said she heard a preacher say that God is a jealous God. And she said that was too much for her. Isn't that what she said? Go look it up. I'm telling you. That's one good thing about Google. Go look it up. Because she said it boldly. She said, she goes, God is jealous of me. This God. She goes, something wrong with this picture. And she went on about her business. Joshua's saying to everybody, he said, yes, God is a jealous God. Because, go back to verses 1 through 13. He said, because I did this for you. I did that. He said, ain't nobody been as good to you as I've been from the day before you even knew who you were. I've been good to you. I brought you through everything. I brought you through the highways and the byways. I thought you through the dark spaces in life. I have brought you through so much. Yeah, I'm jealous. After all I've done for you, and then you tell me, I think I'm going to go serve another God. No, that's what Joshua was warning them against. Joshua said, don't play with God. And look what he says. He says in verse 21, he said, God will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. I just told you why. I just told you in the book of Numbers. I just told you in the book of Matthew. And I just told you that God said this: if you sin against him willfully, this is a true statement, he will not forgive it. He won't. Joshua says, verse 20, if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he has done you good. Joshua said, look, y'all, don't play with God, okay? It's better that you don't even make a vow to God than if you go make a vow and break it. That's what the scriptures say. God said, I'm not a toy. I'm not a genie. I'm not a wind-up puppet. God says, I'm God, and I'm God all by myself, and I want you to serve me. And I want you to serve me. Why? Because I love you first. And I'm giving you the option to love me back in return. Why do I love God? Because he loved me first. I didn't even have the capacity to love him until he put something in me to make me love him. I was just like these folks here. I could look at all the goodness of God and not see anything good. All I could see was, don't do this and don't do that and don't do this. And, ooh, you're going to get punished. And, ooh, you're going to go to hell. And, ooh, I didn't know until I was a grown man that hell is an all-volunteer army. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. You have got to walk over so much Bible to go to hell. You've got to walk over so many Christians to go to hell. You got to really want to go. You got to, and we got to pray for those folks because they're blinded. They're blinded. So Joshua tells them, if you're gonna go this route, if you're gonna have this new beginning, then you need to serve God righteously. You need to serve God the way you're supposed to serve him. He's not a joke. He's not a plaything. He's not a toy. But oh my goodness, isn't he good? How good do you have to be to look down at my situation, see me lost in a sea of sin, see me lost and on my way to hell, and you say, hey, son, if you just do like Peter did, what, the shortest prayer in the Bible, Peter was on his way down. The waves were crashing over his head, and Peter was on his way down, and he said the shortest prayer in the Bible. He said, Lord, help me. He said, Lord, help me. And what did Jesus say? Oh, man, you stepped out. Who told you to step out on that water? No, that's not what he said. He grabbed him and he pulled him in. And he'll do the same for anybody here. Anybody here. No matter how far you've gotten away, no matter how many times you told him no, he says, just say, Lord, help me. And I'll take you. And I'll save you. And not only will I save you, I'll clean you up and I'll wash you off and I'll ask you to serve. I want you to live for me, because just like I saved you, he says, I wish that none should perish. That's how good our God is, y'all. That's how good our God is. But he don't want us telling lies about him, making him to sound like he's a genie or some kind of puppet. He's some kind of magic potion like the gods of Canaan and the gods of the Amorites. That's not our God. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. Last thing. Verses 23 through 25, it's a time for action. It's a time for action. You could tell there's a change in the narrative when he says, now. Verse 23, now, therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Because Shechem is where it all began, y'all. Shechem is where it all began. He said in verse 23, now put away strange gods which are among you and incline your hearts unto the Lord. Two things you got to do. You got to make a willful decision to take an inventory of your own life. Everybody, all of us have to take an inventory of our lives and where we're at spiritually at this particular point in our life. Where are you at spiritually? Nobody knows but you and God. Nobody knows but you and God. He says, but here's what you do. He goes, you take that spiritual inventory and all that junk that you've been holding, that we've been holding, and a lot of the junk is when he talks about the gods of our family, the gods of the forefathers and stuff like that, a lot of that stuff is family tradition, y'all. A lot of it is family. Nothing wrong with tradition. The Bible doesn't condemn tradition. The Bible condemns vain traditions. He says, even if mama told you, and I'm not beating up anybody's mama, but even if mama told you, if it does not line up with the word of God, you got to cut it loose. If daddy told you, well, you know, it's like this and it's like this and it's like that. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, put it away. Well, my preacher, Pastor so-and-so, back when I was growing up, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, put it away. If I say it to you, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, put it away. He says, now, after you've done that, here's the next step. Draw near. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, if you draw near to me, look how good God is, y'all.
We keep thinking he's so bad, he's so mean, he's so hateful. Look at what he says. He goes, if you will make a choice to draw near to me, I will. Y'all hear that? I will. Not I might, not I'll think about it, not maybe. He says, I will draw near to you. The only thing that stops us wanting to draw closer to God, we don't want too much Holy Ghost. Lord forbid that I turn into a religious fanatic. That was one of my greatest fears when I first started preaching. I said, oh my goodness, I'm going to turn into one of those kind of preachers. Oh my goodness. I'm going to be walking around thumping the Bible and telling people, wah, 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 wah. It happened. And I'm happy. Because out of all the things I've done, the only thing that's going to last is what I've done for Christ. And I'm going to challenge y'all, too. Out of all the things you've done and all the things that you are going to be able to do, none of it is going to last but that which you do for Christ. He says, put away those gods. Incline your heart. See, we have a lot of Jesus on our lips. Jesus, we put Jesus on our T-shirts. We put Jesus on our license plates. But we ain't got enough Jesus in our heart. He says, notice he didn't say incline your mind. He said incline your heart. Draw near to me. Last thing, when it comes down to serving God, turn your Bibles to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. If we're going to get serious about serving God, we got to put away the idol gods. We got to backtrack and see what has God done in your life. What has he done? What has he brought you through? Even as a child, you can even take a quick inventory and see God is providing you with a mommy, a daddy. And sometimes you don't even have a mommy and a daddy. Daddy's gone, mama's gone, whatever. But God is still providing. There's an auntie, there's an uncle, there's somebody who is taking you in. God has been providing for you already because he wants you to serve him. He wants us to serve him. But here's how you come to God. Here's how you come to the Lord, those who desire to serve. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Some of the most soothing words in the Bible. Come unto me. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye. Not some of you. See, before folks start condemning God, before you start talking about how mean he is and how narrow-minded he is and how bigoted the Christians are when they say Jesus is the only way, before you start criticizing, listen to what the Word of God says. All, in the Hebrew, in the Greek, in the English, all means all. All of ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. That means start serving me. That means I got something for you to do. This is no bench warming crowd, y'all. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How you gonna learn about God? You got to come to Sunday school. You got to come to Wednesday night. You got to come to Thursday. You got to study the Word of God, and you need to do it in corporate together, and so that we can be challenged, so that we can mature. But everybody thinks they're the Lone Ranger Christian, and I can do it on my own. I assure you, you cannot. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who's tired? Who has this world not beat down enough yet for you to cry out to the Lord? Jesus says, I've paid the penalty for you. He goes, all that sin that we were talking about, you know, we were talking about sins of ignorance and sins of rebellion and all that. Jesus says, I paid it all. And look what he said, and I paid it while you were yet my enemy. Oh, my Lord. What a good God. I want you to understand, before I ask you to serve him, I want you to know who he really is. The truth of God is way better than the fiction of God. And I want you to know how good he is and how much he loves you and how he sent his son. And now that his son has paid the price, his son saying to you and I, you still trying to work your way into heaven? You still trying to find a way to work and negotiate a deal with God? He says, I know you about wore out because it ain't happening. He says, come on. He says, come on. Not some, not one, not two. All. Come unto me and I will give you rest. And after he gives you rest and he speaks to you and you draw close to him, he says, now I want you to get serious about serving me. God bless you.